Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to learn about the Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport's Armed Forces Service Center, meet the team at Minnesota Paralyzed Veterans of America, and get an update from the Minneapolis VA. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Being a traditional Guard member, drilling primarily one weekend a month, means nearly all of our soldiers and airmen have other careers and other responsibilities outside of their military service. Two of the most prominent of these responsibilities are family and employment. The Minnesota National Guard recognizes this challenge of balancing responsibilities and provides resources to assist. Our family programs team works tirelessly to support our military families. They offer military youth programs, transition assistance for members preparing to leave the military, and a connection to other valuable resources. Our Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve program, known as ESGR, ensures that employers understand exactly what it means to employ a Guard member. The ESGR program also recognizes the standout companies in our community who provide exceptional support to our Guard members. Here in Minnesota, 61 companies have earned the designation of a Yellow Ribbon Company, meaning they've been recognized for their efforts in recruiting, hiring, and retaining military employees. Be it at home, at the office, or in uniform, we'll all do a better job and feel better about it if we've got the right support. Here in Minnesota, we've got that support.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the Armed Forces Service Center is an all-free stop located at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. The center is located in Terminal 1, Lindbergh, on the mezzanine level above the main ticket area by Checkpoint 1. And joining us now to talk about the Armed Forces Service Center is Deborah Kane, who is the executive director and has been out there since shortly after 9/11, 2001. Deb, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Deb, I understand that you know something about the Army because you were raised by a family in the Army.
Yes, I'm an Army brat.
You're an Army brat. Did that have anything to do with getting out of the corporate world and coming into the Armed Forces Service Center?
Yes, it did. I was raised service before self.
And so you started out there quite a while ago, and you've brought somebody special with you today that would you like to introduce them to the audience?
Yes, my boss, board president, and Vietnam veteran, Colonel Terry Branham.
Colonel, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. It's great to be here.
And how long ago did you get involved in the Armed Forces Service Center?
My wife and I became volunteers there in 2006. And after I was getting wrapped down from a busy schedule of working and following retirement and just wanted to be around soldiers again. And so it's just been a great opportunity for us to be out there and volunteer and meet all these young soldiers and airmen and Marines going through there. And so we enjoy it a lot.
Now, Deb knows that I first visited that center when I was in the Air Force back on the way back from Vietnam in 1972. When did you first visit?
Probably back in the 90s when I was coming home to see my family.
Well, and it's a great place. And Deb, I want to start the show by just informing our audience that you're not part of the USO. People think about service centers. They think about USO and the USO centers all over the country and the things they do all over the world. You're independent. We're started here. Could you tell us about how it started and what you do?
There are seven privately run airport lounges at the various airports, and we were founded by Maggie Purnham after her son died in Vietnam.
And it was something he saw one of these service centers, I think, out in Seattle. Is that right?
That's correct.
CTAC and wrote back to his mom and said, can you get involved in that and get one started?
Exactly. SeaTac is a 24-hour facility, and we've had their volunteers come out, and we've exchanged information and supplies with them. So, yes.
And unfortunately, he never got to see it, did he?
No, sadly, he did not.
So you're a private 501c3 foundation.
Correct.
Not affiliated with the USO.
Correct.
And so that means that you have to raise funds is part of what you do, you and the Colonel. Terry, is that a big part of the mission?
It is a big part, and it's always a challenge for us. There's a lot of great organizations in the state that we're competing for funds, and so we are challenged to get adequate funding.
So I understand there's some veteran service organizations that help?
Absolutely. The VFWs, the Legions, auxiliaries have been our mainstay since we opened. And now it's kind of shifted to corporate with the size of our facility. We're just in need and the lack of clubs by those organizations now. So they're not able to donate as much as they used to keep the doors open. So we're in need of funding all the time. It costs us about $15,000 a month to keep the doors open, keep these guys in their free beverages and the minor sandwiches and things that we serve. So
Deb, you not only have to take care of the service members that come through, but you have to help raise some money so you can keep the doors open.
That's right. Grants do help.
And that facility opened on November 22nd, 1970, and has never closed a single day, has it?
Nope, not even during 9/11.
Now, I understand there's been over a million active duty military personnel come through the Armed Forces Service Center. That's a lot of folks.
Yes, and in 2013, we expanded to military retirees.
So there's a lot of people that you take care of out there. And are you seeing, they tell me, and we've interviewed lots and lots of ladies that are serving in the military these days, are you seeing more women coming through?
Yes, we do. We still get more males than females, but we do have a fair share of female service members as well as dependents.
So for our listeners out there, if you want to help support the Armed Forces Service Center at the Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport, just go to MNAFSC.org/donations, and there's an easy way to do it. But you need more than donations. You rely heavily on volunteers. How many volunteers do you have out there?
We have close to 200 volunteers to help keep our doors open 24/7. They work 2 volunteers per 4-hour shift.
So I also understand you've got people that have come back for decades.
Yes. Jean Morford has been there since our doors first opened in 1970. She works every Monday.
So you're always looking for more volunteers?
Yes.
And is it harder to staff the nighttime shifts?
Our greatest need is 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. That is absolutely our greatest need.
So if we've got some night owls listening to the show in the Twin Cities,
come on out.
And you want to do something good for our service members, come on out and work with them.
Yes. We have a volunteer coordinator that handles the orientation process.
So if someone wants to volunteer, do they go to the website once again?
Yes.
MNAFSC.org. And there's all kinds of information there, and they can get the contact information and volunteer and come out and take care of some of our service members and help you take care of them as they pass through the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport.
That's correct, yes.
Now, Deb, you've been out there for quite a few years now. Is there any one story or anything that sticks out in your mind, an incident, someone you helped?
Probably during our military meet and greets when we had Combat Marines outgoing, and they were stranded for 27 hours, and we stayed with them. We told them, we leave when you leave.
Now, the meet and greets, that's when they're passing through the Twin Cities, plane lands to refuel, they have to stay on the plane, but you go out there with your carts, and you've got gum and toothpaste and drinks. What all do you do for those folks?
Yes, it's usually a tech stop, and Terry can speak to this a little more. So, Terry, you want to take it?
Sure, Tom. So now we work with the airport, and they give us an international terminal area where the troops can get off the airplane, and they cordon off an area for us. So we're averaging 200 to 300 troops on these flights. And so we set up our table, and we serve. We often get donations from Subway. We'll have sandwiches. We'll have pizzas. We'll always have water, especially if they're coming back from the Middle East. We'll have toothpaste and shaving cream and shavers and things of that nature so they can get spruced up a little bit. And
so you bring the service center to them because they can't get away from that airplane.
That's right.
That's great work to do. Terry and Deb, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the Armed Forces Service Center at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Deborah Kane, who is the Executive Director of the Armed Forces Service Center out of the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport, and Terry Branham, who's a retired colonel and the board president. And we're talking about an independent facility, not part of the USO. It is a 501c3 foundation, charitable foundation, and they're always looking for donations, and they're always looking for volunteers. And Deb, can you explain the Armed Forces Service Center? What do you offer? Tell me about the bunk rooms. Tell me when the service centers or service members come in, men and women, what do you do for them?
Well, our volunteers greet them as they enter, check their military ID card, because everyone has to have a current military ID card, active duty, guard, reserve, and retiree. And then you're welcome to any snacks that we have. If you need to use a computer, if you need a bunk room, we have 20 bunks for men, 10 for women. We also have a bathroom. And then any additional services you might need. We have a TV, iPads.
And I understand that if they come in and they've been traveling a long time and they hit the bunks, you've got volunteers on duty all the time. So if you need to know what time to wake them up so they make their next plane, you do that too.
Yes, absolutely. Terry Branham and his wife are also, they also volunteer in the center.
So the board president and his wife also show up and do the work too.
Yep, we love all these young troops. And it's just fun, a lot of fun to just be there with them and serve them.
And I'm sure it's a great opportunity for them to just catch up, maybe have a little snack, get a little nap time in, and get back. And it says here on your website that you have complimentary sandwiches, pastries, chips, cereals, soups, hot and cold beverages. You've got supervised storage of their luggage if they want to check that and go look for something else. And, of course, you've got Wi-Fi and iPads and televisions and we've got just about anything anybody would ask for in there, Deb.
Yep.
And you also have some other services that we talk about, and one of them is, I understand that you do some things for wounded troops and their escorts as well.
Yes, we work very closely with the VA for wounded military personnel when they transition through the airport. We will provide escort, or they will usually stage in our facility when they're doing a walkthrough.
And then we talked earlier about meet and greets, and that is when you have a troop greeter program. And I understand that once in a while you have a troop transport, an aircraft coming through, and they don't want to let all the troops off and let them out into the airport. So they park it somewhere special at the airport, and then you go see them.
Correct. Yes, we're like Bangor, Maine, but in Minnesota, we're like Minnesota's best kept secret with regard to that. And we greet military personnel from installations around the country on various air carriers, their first or last touchdown on U.S. soil.
We're talking about the Armed Forces Service Center at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport today on Minnesota Military Radio. Terry, there's some huge numbers of troops that over the course of a year come in and out of the service center, and then of course, a lot of these meet and greets. You guys are doing a great job out there.
We are. We're very busy, and the troop greeters stay very busy with the meet and greets almost every week, as well as taking care of remains that are coming back to the States, back to be repatriated. A lot of World War II vets have been discovered in Pearl Harbor coming off the USS Oklahoma. And so those remains have been coming home, and we assist the family in meeting those remains to go on to be interred in their hometowns.
So, Deb, that's your service to help fallen service members and their families. And I'll bet that gets pretty emotional.
Oh, yes, it does. I will say very candidly that because, you know, my father was medevaced due to Agent Orange in Vietnam. So that's the one service I pass off. And Terry does that a lot with his wife. So we do stateside deaths and then repatriated remains. And it's a private, I think, well-appreciated service by the family.
Colonel, you look like the guy to take care of that.
Well, I have a huge heart for service members, and I can talk to the families and always want to hear about their loved ones and hear their story and just let them talk about that and just offer our condolences. And it's just an honor to be a part of that repatriation for them.
Good work, sir.
Thank you.
Now, the Armed Forces Service Center, as we've said, out at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport is a 501c3 nonprofit. And you're always looking for volunteers, especially at night. And you're always looking for some donations so that you can pay the bills. So for our listeners, if you go to mnafsc.org/donations, you can figure out how to support the service center. and there's good contact information there. Now, Terry, I understand that there's going to be a move coming up.
Yes, there is. We're excited about this, Tom. The Minneapolis Airport architect has just met with us recently and showed us a space that they'd like to give us in the A to C concourse, put us inside security, which we've kind of wanted to be for a while. A lot of our troops that are traveling and connecting to other flights don't like to come outside security and have to go back through security lines to meet their flight. So that's a positive there. They're going to improve our facility. They're going to almost double our space, give us more bunks for men and women and a bigger lounge and kitchen. So we're very excited about the opportunities that we're going to have there at the airport.
So being inside security, you think that's going to make or cause the service members to stop by more often?
Well, we hope so. We also take care of all the recruits that ship out every week. So they come through our center as well, and we assist in them getting to their airplanes. A lot of these that have never flown before. So we kind of take them by the hand and ensure that they get off to their flight. So it'll be an easier experience for them when we get them through security under our guidance.
So, Deb, that must be interesting seeing the recruits with their long hair flying off to basic training.
Well, it is kind of funny, I should say. Yes, yeah. But they're usually nervous, and they do a good job in trying to ease their calm their nerves.
So the next time you see them, they'll be kind of grown up, and they'll have a high and tight haircut for the guys. And,
yep.
And they'll be a little bit different, won't they?
We encourage them to just listen to your drill instructor. You'll do well.
Do what you're told.
That's right.
It's a pretty easy deal. Brings back some memories of basic training, doesn't it, Colonel?
It sure does, Tom.
Deb, we just got a couple of minutes left. What do you need? How can my listeners on 53 stations all over the state help you at the Air Force Armed Forces Service Center?
Congratulations on the expansion. Volunteers and funding, that is the drumbeat that we keep beating. We need funding to keep our doors open 24/7 and volunteers to provide that service for us.
And to cover all of those shifts, because you are open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and never closed in all these years.
We would like to get our numbers up to 300 volunteers. We really would.
So you need about 100 more.
Yep.
All right. So for our listeners, if you go to mnafsc.org, you can sign up as a volunteer. And if you go to that/donations, you can send out some money to help the Colonel and Deb keep the doors open and keep taking care of our service members as they pass through the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. Colonel, any final thoughts for our listeners?
No, thank you, Tom. It's been an honor to be here. And we're just excited when our Minnesota soldiers come through the center. So Minnesota soldiers out there that you're traveling to training, please stop in and see us en route to your flight.
Well, we feel good that you're out there and you're open. And, Deb, it makes my heart soar knowing that you're out there running that center and taking care of all of those troops coming and going.
Thank you for your service, sir.
Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you for having us.
That was Terry Branham, the board president, and Deb Kane, executive director of the Armed Forces Service Center at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. And once again, you can go to that website at mnafsc.org. They need volunteers and they need some donations. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to meet the team at the Minnesota Paralyzed Veterans of America. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to meet the leadership team from the Minnesota Paralyzed Veterans of America. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
At the start of the Civil War, Minnesota was the first state to offer volunteers to the Union Army. Ordinary men from Minnesota made an extraordinary sacrifice. Only 3 years after achieving statehood, over 24,000 Minnesotans answered the call to service April 12th. 1861. These brave Minnesotans often found themselves on the front lines or the last to leave the battlefield. Minnesotans played a pivotal role and their service will never be forgotten. The Civil War changed Minnesota in many ways. After the war was over, many soldiers from other states were drawn here because of the Minnesotans they had met and the stories they had heard. The Civil War deeply shaped the state of Minnesota, and the 1st Minnesota Volunteer Infantry Regiment holds a special place in the history of our state.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us now is Ken Klein, who's the president of the Minnesota Paralyzed Veterans of America, and Todd Kemery, who's the vice president and has a bunch of information on us about some legislative items. Ken, I want to start with you. I understand you served in the Navy.
I did. I served from right out of high school. I went into boot camp down in San Diego in 1967 and served my first. I went to A school after boot camp. From there on to Vietnam for 12 months, and after that, staff duty in Virginia.
And your partner here is a member of the Marine Corps, one of those guys that you were hauling around all that time, I suppose.
All the time.
Much appreciative.
Todd, when did you serve in the Marines?
So my time in was from 1978 to 1983. I went to boot camp at Parris Island, became quite familiar with the sand fleas. From there, I went to my training as a helicopter mechanic in Millington, Tennessee. And I did that for 6 months, and then on to my further training out at Camp Pendleton. I worked on Hueys and Cobras at that time. And then once I was done with all that training, they put me out into the fleet, and that was with HMH 363 based out of Tustin, California, Orange County.
And in 1982, you sustained a service-connected injury that permanently put you in that chair you arrived in today.
It's been, I'm working on 36 years in a wheelchair. So now, I preface this by saying that if the accident had to happen, I'm glad it happened when it did, because the Marine Corps and the VA have been very good to me.
And I've seen you get around in that chair. You do pretty well, and getting in and out of your car, you're pretty darn good at, too.
I appreciate that. I'm very well practiced.
And Ken, you're moving around pretty well in your chair. We talked about this, I think, the last time you were on, but what's the protocol if you see a veteran or someone that's in a wheelchair, if they're struggling or something? Shouldn't just go up and shock them. You should just say, did you need any help?
Sure. Yeah, I guess, us, Todd and I, and fellow guys that are in and gals that are in wheelchairs and stuff, I mean, they're pretty independent. A lot of them are very independent, and you know, you want to help us out and stuff like that, and it's appreciative. But we just live a life a little bit different.
And you like to take care of yourselves as much as possible.
Exactly.
So I like to say, and part of the thank you but no thank you is, like, if it was 30 below, or if it was raining out cats and dogs, and then I'll need some help.
So the best thing to do is say, if you look like you're struggling, can I help you, sir?
Absolutely.
And you'll tell him yes or no.
Right? Yep.
All right. So let's get that taken care of. Now, the Minnesota Paralyzed Veterans of America, what's your organization all about, Ken, and what do you do?
Well, in short, we're an acronym is PVA. That's Paralyzed Veterans of America. We were founded in 1946 by a couple of World War II veterans who sustained a spinal cord injury. And today there's approximately 18,000 to 19,000 paralyzed PVA members throughout the United States. Minnesota is one of 33 chapters, and we have approximately 350 members throughout the state that we take care of and service.
And you're pretty active.
Our chapter is very active. We've got a tremendous amount of activities coming up this year, and it's probably going to be one of our busiest years.
Ken, we were talking before the show about a bunch of you get together and shoot shotguns fairly often.
Yes, we do. There's about 10 to 12 of us that get together every Monday at the local gun club, and we just socialize and shoot a couple of rounds of trap shoot, and then we have a team of about five guys that go around the country and shoot nationally.
And so you're just like any other guys. If you enjoyed shooting before, you still enjoy it now.
Yeah, and probably we appreciate it more. That's an activity that you can definitely do in a wheelchair.
So sometimes a little specialty equipment, but you still want to get out. You still want to get around. You still want to get in the fresh air.
It's another activity that gets us out of the house.
And I understand you've got some events coming up at Camp Ripley.
Yeah, we're one of the sponsors for three big events for all veterans, not just paralyzed veterans, but all veterans that want to get out and participate in some activities. The VFW, American Legion, the V4V, the DAV, and then the Paralyzed Veterans were the sponsors of these events. And the first one is the Turkey Hunt, which is coming up May 1st and 3rd. These are all held at Camp Ripley. And then there's the big one is the Trolling for Troops, where you get an opportunity to fish on the Mississippi or go out to Mille Lacs, and they have a little bit of a contest on who gets the biggest fish. And then the last one is the deer hunt that takes place up in October. And they get probably between 50 to 100 veterans at all of these events. So it's a well-attended event, and they really take care of us.
And do you have some information on those events on your website?
We have them on our website. We have applications in our office. Anybody that's interested, all they have to do is contact us or get us onto the website.
So to find information on those events, you can go to mnpva.org, and you can learn a lot about the Minnesota Paralyzed Veterans of America as an organization. And for any of the veterans out there that might be paralyzed and don't belong yet, go onto that website. You got to meet these two characters here because they do a lot of great stuff and they have a lot of fun. And there's some great events coming up that are well supported by the veteran service organizations across the state.
Yes, that's correct.
All right. We're speaking to Ken Klein and Todd Kemery from Minnesota Paralyzed Veterans of America on Minnesota Military Radio. Ken, I know that you've got some other things coming up, some other organizational events.
We do. We have a coming up on April 26th. We have our second annual, well, it's actually our membership meeting, which is going to be held down in Rochester. So we're reaching out to all of our veterans that are down in the Rochester area to meet us at a local restaurant. We can update them on what's happening with the chapter. We get to know them a little bit better and stuff. And, of course, we can enjoy a nice lunch. Then we have our the trap shoot event. We have a national trap shoot event we're hosting at the Prior Lake Gun Club. That's going to happen on May 19th and 20th. And immediately after that, we're real excited about this. The chapter is hosting their 72nd annual national convention, where everybody from the United States and our Washington team comes in, and we have about 5 days' worth of meetings. And we're excited about hosting that. That'll be at the JW Marriott at the Mall of America. So all the attendants and spouses are going to have a lot of time to do some shopping while we're in sessions.
And especially beforehand when you're out doing your three-day shoot with some of those national officers, and so the wives can go out to the mall and spend some money.
Yep, that's right. Just leave the credit cards at home.
There you go.
And then we have an annual picnic that's our annual picnic at the VA, where we cater to all of the inpatients or to a beautiful barbecue lunch, which is well attended. We get about 100 people that come to that.
So this is at the VA, Minneapolis VA Medical Center.
Yep, at the VA Medical Center, correct. And then we finalize our summer pretty much by the wheelchair games, the National Veterans Wheelchair Games, which are going to be held the end of July in Orlando, Florida. And that is just one spectacular event. It's the largest wheelchair sporting event in the world.
Are you guys going to get a chance to go to that?
Oh, yeah, we go every year.
Todd, too?
Well, once in a while.
You take the Marine?
Yeah, can you believe Todd?
This will be year 16 for me. You come.
And this will be my, I think this is my ninth year coming.
I'm visualizing him acting up down in Florida. I don't know.
Todd is our catcher on our softball team, and he plays quad rugby. What else do you play?
I'll be doing hand cycle this year and also some swimming events.
Yeah, so
16 years. Apparently he likes going down there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll be participating in four or five events during the six-day period. It's an outstanding event.
So you're going to have a busy year, and for all our listeners out there, if you want to learn more, go to mnpva.org so you can learn more about the Minnesota Paralyzed Veterans of America. And there's contact information in there. You can get a hold of Ken or Todd. And these guys will take care of you if you've got any questions. Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about Veterans Day on the Hill and some legislative activities going on up at the legislature. We're speaking to Minnesota Paralyzed Veterans of America on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Ken Klein and Todd Kemery from Minnesota Paralyzed Veterans of America. And Ken, there was a great discussion of Paralyzed Veterans of America here in Minnesota and all the things you do and all the events. And please go to that website, mnpva.org, and look up the turkey hunts and the fishing and the deer hunting and all the things that you and the other veteran service organizations support. But we want to talk to Todd this segment about Veterans Day on the Hill and some ongoing legislation. I understand you had a pretty good crowd at Vets Day on the Hill.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, the organizations that put that to help put that together, I'm thinking of Trent Dilks over at the DAV, and also with Ben Johnson with the MDVA, and several other entities that were, but it was a huge crowd this year.
And you bussed people in from all over the state.
That was the most amazing part of that. I mean, it wasn't just one or two buses. We're talking 12, 14 buses from all over the state.
So a good showing from our veterans.
It was wonderful, yes.
And I'm sure you had a bunch of your guys up there, too.
We did. We were able to scrape together 7 wheelchairs, so.
Well, I hope you didn't have them stacked too deep in those things.
Yeah, no.
Now, what kind of legislative items are we working on up
there? Yeah, Veterans on the Hill, Tom, is that's one day. But throughout the session, we're up there on a daily basis at times, certainly for the committee meetings to be able to be a presence. And then some of us also have the honor and the privilege to be able to be a testifier. So it is an ongoing process all the way till May. And so there are a couple of the initiatives that we originally brought forth, UVLC, CTF, and the MAC VCO group put together before Vets on the Day 7 bills and initiatives that needed to be addressed. And I'd like to update a couple, just a couple that need to be mentioned.
And what Todd said there was all the veteran service organizations, part of the commander's task force, put together these items. He was speaking in acronyms again, but he's a Marine, so go ahead, Todd.
I apologize, Tom. I was warned about that. So the commander's task force, the United Veterans Legislative Council, and the veteran service organization people throughout the state, we came up with 7. But right now we're interested in House File 3429 and Senate File 3261. And the language for that is the lifetime extension of property value exclusion for surviving spouses. We still need to have people call their representatives, get a hold of the DAV, the Paralyzed Veterans of America, or the MDVA for further instructions on how to help be a voice to help support this. The other one is House File 3368 and Senate File 327. And that bill needs to be supported by all of us veterans here. It's to protect our most vulnerable veterans and spouses from predatory lenders, those people that are needing some money to help the budget last throughout the month are now paying $1,000, $2,000 interest on just a small loan, and it keeps them trapped. So these two bills are to help protect and prevent that.
So have you got information on those legislative agenda at mnpva.org?
Absolutely. And also, if you feel more comfortable with getting hold of the legislative team at DAV or, like I said, the MDVA on their website, we'll also help you get in contact. And we're asking for your support, veterans. Please help us.
So for our listeners out there, get on the horn and talk to your elected state officials and talk to them about some of these bills. You can find information at mnpva.org. Ken, I understand you maintain an office out at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center.
We do. We're actually in this spinal cord injury. It's like a hospital within a hospital. We have a office down there that anytime any veterans comes by that's coming in for an appointment or whatever, we're right down the hall from the outpatient and from the physical therapy gymnasium. So we have an opportunity for a lot of our members to stop into the office, talk to our secretary, and pick up tickets to sporting events or just have a conversation.
So when you guys aren't on the radio, you might be out there at the VA Medical Center.
And we spend more time out there than we realize sometimes.
Well, gentlemen, it's always a pleasure having you in the studio. Thanks for stopping by today.
Tom, it's a great pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Tom. We certainly do appreciate it. I'd like to steal some thunder from Ken. We appreciate your recent membership as an associate member to Paralyzed Veterans of America, and we consider that an honor, and we do thank, and we're looking forward to helping helping you and you helping us with our membership.
Gentlemen, I'd be happy to do anything I can do to support you and appreciate you coming on the show. We're looking forward to having you on again soon.
Okay.
This is Ken Klein and Todd Kemmery from Minnesota Paralyzed Veterans of America. Joining me now from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System is Director Pat Kelly. Director, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, Tom. Nice to talk to you again.
Director, I was out there last week, and it'd sure be nice if the snow would quit falling and everybody could see where they're supposed to park their cars.
Oh, man, you know, we have a crew that does snow removal and takes care of all of that, and we sort of stood down our crew about the 1st of April thinking that it was behind us, and sure enough, I think that very night it snowed, and every time it snows and it covers our parking lot, if we don't get that stuff removed, we lose about 200 parking places on the campus because of because people park, you know, where it's not as well designated. So, I hope we're almost done with all that.
Well, it's a good thing I can walk, sir, because I was way out in the back. Director, technology keeps changing everything, and I understand that you've got some new text reminders that for appointments.
This was really a simple thing for us to do. A lot of times these technology issues are pretty cumbersome and take a lot of time, but this was a system that the VA has centrally set up whereby they can extract phone numbers, cell phone numbers for veterans when we collect those when they come and see us, and automatically then when a veteran has an appointment, they will get a text sent to them reminding them of their appointment. So, you know, the reason why we do that, Tom, is that, you know, about 1 out of 10 appointments are missed, you know, for a variety of reasons. But, you know, when we're struggling to get all of our veterans seen, every time somebody misses an appointment, that's a veteran that we could have gotten in. So to the extent that we can minimize that and minimize those missed appointments, it's really helpful for us to meet our access goals and to see the veterans in a timely way. So phone numbers are extracted. You get a phone call or text rather sent to your cell phone. Veterans will still get their letter reminding them of their appointment, and in some cases, they will get an audio call as well. And don't mean to overwhelm veterans with reminders, but we're just trying to do everything we can to ensure that we use all of those appointments in order that we can see as many veterans as possible.
Director, I'm sure we can all use a reminder once in a while. It sounds like a great system.
Yeah, it's worked very well so far.
Now, I understand you've got an open house coming up on April 26th.
Yeah, so we are doing open houses at all of our CBOX here within the next 6 months or so. The next one we have is going to be down in Mankato. And so we had designated the Mankato Clinic, the Lyle C. Pearson Clinic, about 3 years ago. Congressman Walz was at the event, and a nice event. Lyle Pearson was a World War II hero, prisoner of war, from Mankato. And so we are going to have an open house on the 26th of April, and it's going to be from 11 to 1. And if it makes a difference for our Mankato area listeners, there's going to be refreshments, and we're going to take people through at least part of our expanded new clinic. So we have expanded our clinic in Mankato to include more services and just to accommodate the required space, and so that we're mostly done with that. That is a contract clinic of ours, but many of our staff will be there 11 to 1, April 26th in Mankato.
Great to honor a B-17 bomber flight pilot that flew 50 missions, sir.
Terrific guy. Mankato is my hometown, and Lyle Pearson was very well known in Mankato.
Director, we just got about a minute left, but I understand May 16th is going to be a special day.
Yep, every year. We have a research day in Minneapolis, and again, one of our three key missions, in addition to clinical work, is training and education and research. So this year, it's May 16th. This year, the dean from the University of Minnesota School of Medicine is going to be our guest speaker. It's going to be from 1:30 to 3:30 over here in our flag atrium. So it's open to all comers, and if you want to learn more about research, some of the research programs that we have going on, maybe some opportunities to volunteer to be part of a research protocol, May 16th, 1:30 to 3:30 in our flag atrium.
And, Director, that flag atrium is looking better and better every time I come out there, as the whole medical center. You've been wearing a hard hat for a lot of years, and things are getting fixed up.
Well, thanks, Tom. You know, the reason why we redid the flag atrium was to move more services down there so veterans could more easily navigate their way through. But We are so blessed. That is a beautiful open area, especially when it's sunny. And we've got a flag down there that's bigger than your local Perkins. So we're really fortunate to have that.
Thanks for joining us again today, Director.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Director Patrick Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. We have one mention today. Scoops for Troops is an annual family-friendly event held in memory of our fallen heroes. The day includes a 5K fun run, 3K walk, kids' activities, silent auction, bake sale, and special appearances by local celebrities. Money raised through Scoops for Troops goes toward the Fallen Heroes Children Education Fund to directly support the children of our fallen heroes. Join us at the Arden Hills Army Training Site on Sunday, April 29th. For more information, visit scoopsfortroops.net. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Deborah Kane, Terry Branham, Ken Klein, Todd Kemery, Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Commissioner Larry Shalito of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk about our Gold Star families and learn what it takes to keep the National Guard environmentally stable. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.